All right, our next panel consists of a GSR, a DCM, and a delegate, and they will each explain that particular role in the service structure in their own words, from their own experience. So please welcome Cheryl, Mike, and Dodie.
Hi, everybody. I'm Cheryl, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Cheryl.
And I'm the GSR for the Just for Today group in Eau Claire that meets at 6:30 on Monday nights at the Triangle Club. GSR, as you have heard from Mary Jo, is the general service rep. And as that position for me is, I'm the voice, the link between my AA group, my home group, and the district and assembly. And I get information from them and carry it back to my group and explain it to them to the best of my knowledge. How I became GSR was my group had seen that I am loyal to them, that I'm a dependable person, that I have taken different positions and that they could trust me in this position. And I take this very seriously. As you can see on the chart, the AA groups are the top of the at the very top. Unlike what I thought it was at the very beginning, I thought that AA groups were down here and the GSO was at the top. But the more it was explained to me, the more I knew that and understood, and it made more sense that the groups are the most important. They're the ones that are the alcoholics coming off the streets, coming into our meetings, waiting for us to reach our hand out to them and to welcome them and make them kind of see that life may be okay. And so those are the people I speak for. And so for me, that's a very important part. As I said, they elected me in GSR, and we recommend to have an alternate in case I can't make something, then I have someone else that can do it for me. But so far, I haven't had to need that because I take this very seriously. It's a two-year position. To me, it's not long enough. About the time you just start figuring out what's going to go on and what's happening at the assemblies and stuff and feel comfortable in your own skin there, it's time for someone else to take over. Kind of like when you first come into your first AA group, you feel like you're the person on the outside looking in and you don't feel comfortable and you don't know where you're going to fit in, and then you find yourself feeling welcoming and, you know, talking and become comfortable. And that's the way I felt when I went into my first district meeting. I knew the people there, but I didn't know where I would fit in, and you know, I just didn't feel very comfortable. When I went to assembly, that was a whole different world. As Mary Jo said, tough skin. Well, you know, you just need to be open-minded because at first you think when people are maybe disagreeing with each other and arguing and this, you're thinking, oh, my God, this is what we're not supposed to do in AA, you know, and so you kind of think that. But the more you're in it, the more you realize the people that are at that level love AA, and all these arguments and all this discussion is just because they love the program so much and they want to make sure that the traditions and AA carries on the way it should be. And so that's where I'm at now. I go into assemblies and I've now made friends, and I have people that I can sit with, and we just had a fall conference where we elected all the new delegates and everything, and I sat with Dodie's dad, which I didn't even know it was Dodie's dad for a while. And you know, you make new friends the longer you're in there. So that's why I say 2 years is almost not enough, because by the time you have things figured out, you know, it's time to leave. And as my job, what I do is I go to a monthly district meeting, and I'm with District 5. I take back any information that different committee chairs have shared. If there's any meetings that new meetings, or if there's any meetings that have changed, any workshops, anything that we're going to vote on, I bring that back to my meeting. I share as much as I can about what's going on, and we discuss it, and then I find out how they would like me to vote, and then I take it back to the district and vote that way. And that's what I do at assemblies. We have fall assembly coming up here on the 17th of October, and And there will be some motions that maybe I'll have to vote for, and I've already talked to my group about it. I try to share any extra information that I hear along the way, because usually we vote either at the fall or the spring assembly, so you have plenty of time to talk and really understand what you're going to do and what's going to be voted on. So I take that information to my group, and I go into assembly ready to vote on something. If I'm there, though, and a new twist gets brought into something that I'm going to speak or vote on, and I think that maybe my group would want me to change my vote, I have that right to do it because that's what my group has given me. They've given me their trust and their to know that I'll do the best I can to speak their voice, because it's their voice I'm speaking. It's not about Cheryl. It's about me taking myself out of the whole scenario and voting for my group. I love my home group, and because they're the people who know me the best. They're the people who, when I walk in there, I don't always have a happy face on me. If I'm having a rough day, if I'm having a rough time, they know that. So I'm representing them, and that's a very important thing for me to do. Just to end with the fact that this job has been a wonderful experience for me. It's let me get to know people that I never would have gotten to know when I first went into AA. I thought it was all about just sobering up. And as I expanded out and I actually got into service work, not at my local level. I've done treasure and stuff, but the GSR, I did that because I watched other people in my meeting and watched how they did and watched their enthusiasm. It wasn't sponsor-directed in my part. My sponsor supports me in doing it, but she doesn't direct me. But I have other people, I have Dodie and Mary Jo, that I can talk to if I have any questions about service. And these are people that I never would have ever met if I hadn't expanded myself out. You know, fear ran my life for so many years, and I didn't do things because I was fearful of doing them. And now fear does not run my life anymore. If I'm fearful, I will try it. If I failed, at least I've tried it. And that's what this is about, is putting yourself out there, doing the service work, and taking yourself out of yourself. So with that, I'll pass.
Hi, I'm Mike. I'm an alcoholic. I'm currently serving as the district committee member for District 05, which is our district. It's a good district. I'm blessed to be able to serve this district because it's such an active district. So DCM, what that job is supposed to be about. I was showing up to district one night as the alternate GSR, and I had no idea it was elections. And I walked away the DCM elect, and I was quite shocked and surprised. And I really didn't know, was not prepared for that. I really didn't know what the job was about. And I had to read the book, and I discovered some things that I did not know. Obviously I chaired a district meeting. That's a very important job. I've had to learn how to do that. A good portion of my life, I was in the Navy, which is very directive leadership, command and control type of thing, and I was very comfortable in that. And I actually have sponsorship that at times is directive. Mike, I think you should do this. And I'm like, yeah, I know the pain if I don't, so I will. And but that doesn't work so good as DCM. That's not what I've been asked to do, to be that kind of a leader. I found that the district is really what it is a conduit for information. It's a line of communication from the groups to the district to assembly to the general service office. In addition, it's a line of communication between us as groups. We're having a workshop here. Well, the word gets out at district. This group is hosting a potluck and anniversary meeting. Those flyers and stuff, that's, what's working in my group, how the committees relate back to the groups, what they're doing on their behalf. This all happens at district. My job really is, in a lot of ways, is to get out of the way of that and to facilitate that. And as Cheryl talked about, the voice that matters there is the groups, as represented by the group service reps. That is the voice of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's not the DCM's voice. And so I've really tried to style my leadership in a way that fosters that voice to be heard, both at our district and that our GSRs are heard at the area level. As you know, there's a half, you know, 10 or so area officers, there's 24 DCMs, and there's potentially 600 GSRs. If those GSRs would all show up to assembly, seriously, it was a joke, but you'd run AA across the entire world. You know, I when I vote, and this is something I didn't know, I'm not voting for what you guys told me to vote for, necessarily. Your group gets a vote at assembly with your GSR. That's how your group conscience gets heard there. The conscience I'm representing at assembly is the districts. And I'm always, I mean, that's why it's great to have lots of GSRs telling me what your group thinks about things so I can get a feel for what that is, because otherwise I won't know. I really won't know. If the groups don't show up and talk about what's going on, what they think, what they feel at the district, I have no idea, and I'm running blind and deaf. And it's really hard because what am I representing then? Myself and my views and my experience, and that's not what I was elected to do. I want to just close on this. It's a great job. I've developed some elephant skin. one of the things I've learned to listen, our secretary, John S., is here. You know, he made a lot of suggestions to make the meeting run better. And they were good suggestions. I was open-minded enough to go, you know, that sounds good. I'll try it. And you know what? It worked. And lots of people have helped me do my job. And I'm very appreciative of people that were in front of me who've shared their experience, people who were beside me being my peers, and the GSRs coming up and telling me what it is you need, because that's what I'm here to do. I wanted to talk briefly about, as Cheryl said, what this has given me back. And one thing is I don't consider this 12-step work. That's part of the legacy of recovery, my doing the 12-step. That is me working directly with another alcoholic to carry the message of recovery to them. Usually in my mind, that means working the steps out of the book one-on-one in the form of sponsorship, but it's also what I say and how I conduct myself in meetings. There's another legacy called unity, and I know today that I would not have been able to stay sober alone. I needed the support of a group. I needed the support of AA as a whole. I needed the support of the people who wrote the book. Without unity in Alcoholics Anonymous, I would have had none of that, and I'd have been where I was my last day of drinking, and that's with nothing. And it was unity alone, you know, that gave me the fellowship of AA, that gave me a place to sober up. So that leaves actually a third legacy I'd like to talk about briefly, and that's called service. And it is one of our legacies. It's as necessary to me, today I realize this, as my working the 12 steps, my own personal recovery, participating in AA through unity, being a member of a group, and doing service. And I guess today I actually believe that service has kept me alive for a period of my sobriety. Because you know, after I worked the steps, I was, you know, recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. The obsession to drink was removed from me. I worked those things. Most of my defects in their most heinous form were gone. You know, I never wanted to murder, rape, or, you know, steal anymore. And I seemed to be able to live in society. So, you know, hey, what the hell? Let's quit AA. I don't need to do this anymore. And I probably would have. Lots of people do. What kept me sober between the years of 2 and 10 years of sobriety, which if you look around you, there's this desert that you're living in. There's all these people of under a year, a few of 2, and then you're not going to see anybody until you start seeing 10, 12, lots of 20 years of sobriety. Why is that? Because they left. They left AA. And what kept me in there while they were leaving was service. I had to be accountable. You gave me jobs. You gave me work. And I did them to the best of my ability. I failed at some of them, you know, and I got to get up my butt and do them more. But in that, you gave me the opportunity to be of service to God and my fellows, and it helped me stay sober. And for that, I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Dodie. I'm an alcoholic. I'm sorry, but I've been standing for a long time doing these things, and I want to commend both of you on a really great job that you've just done explaining the things that we do in Alcoholics Anonymous that lead us through the service structure. Currently, I'm serving you as your delegate for Area 74. I'm on panel 58, which means that there have been 58 panels of delegates that have met. It's the General Service Conference has met 58 times, or it's the 58th time. This last year was the 59th. This coming up year is the 60th. And we just had our elections for the for our area officers and our committee chairs. And congratulations to all of you that have been selected and are willing to serve for our area. One of the things, let's see. As area delegate, I have been the coffee maker, I've been the garbage cleaner, I've been the ashtray washer, I've been, you know, there's a whole litany of service positions that I held that had absolutely really nothing to do with the service structure of Alcoholics Anonymous. But what it did is it taught me how to be of service to you. When I was drinking, I was the type of person that did everything that was anything to do about me. And you decided to come into my life, or I was put in your life, or however that works out. God determined how that was going to happen. And said that I needed to learn a new way of life. And cleaning out ashtrays, I didn't know, was a significant part of being a part of that. Every job that I have had in Alcoholics Anonymous has led me to the next one. It has prepared me for the next level of service. So however many ashtrays were there, I did that job, and then all of a sudden I was the greeter, and then all of a sudden I was the chair, and I got to listen to what you had to say. The meeting was not run the way that Doty wanted the meeting run. It was run by the group conscience that was at that meeting. And each job has taught me a little bit more how to get outside of me. Not me being in control, because I'm a control freak from Hades. And I always want it my way. I still want it my way sometimes. Well, most of the time. But you have taught me in Alcoholics Anonymous that that just doesn't work. That self-centeredness and selfishness are really at the core of my being. And you have given me ways on how to get away from that. As GSR, you first start to learn how to get rid of your own ideas and listen to somebody else's and carry their voice. As DCM, you're part of the district, the area committee, which means that that's how you earn your vote at the assembly. But that means that the GSR has twice the voice, just so you know. They have the voice at the district and things that are going on, and then they have the voice at the assembly. You know, they're the only person that has bigger voices than anybody else in Alcoholics Anonymous. The DCM, they're usually a part of a committee at the area level, and I was a part of all of that. I got to learn, and each time I learned something, I learned to put me a little bit more away. I get to put my selfishness and my self-centeredness away. Because of that, I learned to be of service to you. And I found that I really liked doing that. By doing those things, I got to be a better nurse's aide. I got to care about the people that I took care of in the nursing home. I got to be a better waitress because I got to take care of you. I got to put everybody else's stuff and get my self-centeredness and my selfishness out of the way. As I started working at, you know, how did I end up at the area level? I was a DCM, and one of the girls, and in our district, it's a real small district, it's District 24, and we have two sides of our district. We have the Ladysmith side, and we have the Shatek side, because they're parted by about 30 miles. And there were, at that point, there were no meetings in between there. There were only meetings over by Ladysmith, and there were meetings over by Shatek. And happened to be in a meeting, and there was a gentleman that came into, because we were at our Alano Club in Shatek, and a gentleman came into our meeting, and he didn't know what we were about. He just saw this building, and it had this weird name on it, and he thought he'd come in and check out what we were, so I sat with him for a few minutes to explain to him. I went back into, and they said, would you be willing to stand as our DCM? I'm like, sure, okay, well, we've already elected you. And I was like, great. You know, because of that service. Now, I did a lot of local service in Shatek because I was raising three kids and I was working. My husband was disabled, so I was working a couple of jobs. So my bill was full. And what that did was that gave me time to grow up. I came into Alcoholics Anonymous when I was 24. I was a little snot-nosed brat, and I was told I was a punk. And you allowed me time to grow up. So by the time I got to this point where I was DCM and I'm working at all of this, I went to the district, and there was a lady that was the secretary for the area and asked me to come. You know, she couldn't drive because of an incident, if I would drive her. And I'm like, okay, my girls are grown. Yeah, sure, I'll go. I got a weekend free. So I went, and y'all talked in a language that I didn't get. You talked in a foreign language that didn't make sense to me. And I remembered that feeling when I first walked into Alcoholics Anonymous. You talked in a way that I didn't get, and it intrigued me. Well, first off, I thought the disagreements or the debate or the things like that I found were very, very intriguing. I wanted to know what you were talking about. So came back and started hearing what you were actually saying, and became of service at, you know, making sure that this was picked up or that was picked up. People had rides places, and ended up on a committee because I was a DCM. So I was on the CPC committee, and then I proceeded to the next rotation. I was the treatment chair facility, treatment chair. And what's funny is I've never stepped foot in a treatment other than to visit my dad once. You know, so I had no idea, but what it is when you're a chair of a committee, all you're supposed to do is to facilitate. Facilitate and organize. You don't have to know all the answers. The guys that were on my committee, you know, God bless every one of them because they all had very active roles in their districts. They all had very active roles. They were all very active in treatment facilities. So because of that willingness, then I got to be elected area chair at the next, which in the meantime, I ended up with a service sponsor. I am sponsored through recovery, and I am also sponsored through service. And I'm grateful every day to my recovery sponsor. And she just proceeded to tell me, Dodie, we owe our hats off to you that are willing to do this because you give us the tools that we use for the newcomer that walks in the door. And if you look in our first concept, in our service manual, about the third or the fourth paragraph, it'll tell you exactly what our service structure does. And Mary Jo touched very wonderfully on those things. And so all it is getting out of our way, getting away from what I think is accurate to what you think is what it's all about. That group conscience, that is what the delegate deals with. They deal with what you think is important to Alcoholics Anonymous. Our general service board sends down an agenda every year. They talk about things that might hit the conference floor, and they talk about things that might not hit the conference floor. And how that happens is that the agenda goes through all the committees. It's all based on one committee or another, and if it's archives, then they deal with all the archive issues. And it's all based on setting policy. It's not based on how AA should... It's just policy. And so they discuss what needs to be brought up as far as a formal vote. They have 2 days in their committees to discuss those things, and we talk about them. I was on the committee for corrections for 2 years, which is really exciting because we have a really strong corrections committee in our area, and in my district. So that's it was a nice thing to be on that. So then we talk about those things. Each committee brings their stuff up to the dais, and they bring out their reports, and then we vote on it. I can tell you that I am truly a product of our local area, our complete area, our region, because as I looked at both of our voices from both years, from the 58th and the 59th General Service Conference, how we looked at things, I can tell you that I voted probably, after getting more information, maybe 6 times out of the 50... I think there was 48 to 50 items per year. So out of those 100 items, I might have voted in opposition to what we thought as an area 6 times. You know, that tells me that I'm really a product of what you guys think. You know, that all of a sudden, Doty's ideas, you know, it's not my platform. It's not Doty's. And that was what my sponsor told me. When you get up there and you're the area chair or you're the delegate, it's not your platform. That you are here to carry someone else's voice, and that's the groups that are in Area 74. And that was probably for me a really good thing that somebody just simply said it that way. When you're the GSR, it's not your platform. It's your group's platform. If you're the DCM, it's not your district. It's not your platform, it's your district's. And if you're a committee chair, if you're an area officer, if you're one day delegate, and anyone in this room could be that, because I can tell you that I did not sign up to do this. All I was told was that I will answer correctly by my sponsor when they asked me if I would be willing to stand, that I just needed to answer correctly, and I was just like, okay. but you all thought that I could say what you thought. You know, and I'm grateful for that opportunity. Because of that, I'm still married. I guess that's a good thing. I get to be a part of a relationship that way, that it's not always Dodie's way. Because of those things, I get to be, I'm a member in good standing in my home group. I get to be employable. that I've held a job for 16 years in the same place. That's pretty amazing. I've never, other than stay sober for a while, done anything for 16 years other than drink maybe for a while. I did that too, I guess. But someone else thinks that I'm worth that time and that energy. So I think that those are the things, all the concepts, the right of participation, the right of decision was what was mentioned earlier about I can get all this information, carry it forward. If I get a new twist on it, I have that right of decision to add that to that. All those things are in the concepts that we talk about. Those concepts help us deal with life on a regular basis, which is so crazy because I remember the first time I read it is when Circe came up from Texas. And I just love the honesty of alcoholics. He had talked about, he met over in Ladysmith, and there was a bunch of us that were there, and he talked about when they first brought the traditions to the General Service Conference, he voted against them. He said, I didn't think we needed them. I thought we were just fine. He says, you know, and I look back on all those years now, it's like, wow, today I can say I wasn't really maybe accurate on that thought process. And thank God there was a group of people that knew better for us than what I knew for us. You know, and I think that when we all look back at the things that we've done and the things that we've learned, I can tell you that for myself, I'm not necessarily always right. But I can tell you that the group conscience through a loving God is really always, it's always been on. And if we're wrong, he will show us real quickly. You know, one of the things that happened at the General Service Conference this last year was we had a Kindle project. And we were told at the conference that this is what we're doing. We're going to offer it through Amazon.com, which is our big book on in an ebook. And within about 2 months, it was taken down because we found out that that was not probably the most accurate way to handle our literature. So even though that things can be said and things can be done, God will definitely put the right pieces in place. You know, he's done it over and over again. Our higher power has always made sure that we've always stayed, you know, we go back to where we need to. Our concepts help us go back to where we need to go with all the principles and the ideals and the things that we have. You know, we are a spiritual entity. And I think that that's one of the things that I think that for me, with the opportunity that you have given me to have, that I know that there is something a lot bigger than just Dodie thinking of things or all this, or the individuals. Together in the world, you know, together with all of us that are in recovery and things that are, people that are trying to place these principles in their life regularly, you know, we've created a movement and we're a part of a group and a society of people that have done what nobody else could do. Sober up a drunk. You know, and we get to put those pieces in place together to so that can happen. That's what the service structure does. First concept, third or fourth paragraph, I just don't remember which one, tells us exactly that all that's what we do in our service structure is make sure that when that newcomer walks in through the door, that they have, the people that are in that meeting have all the tools that they need to help that person find the solution that each and every one of us have found. That is what I have gained from being delegate, and I appreciate that. And I hope to God that I carry it farther than one, you know, carry it on to the next person, because I think that this is a gift that I will never be able to let go of. Thank you.
Okay, do we have any questions for the panelists here?
Earning a vote. As GSR, we're put into a position to have the voice and the vote. As DCM, what we do, and that's a district committee member, they're elected by the GSRs. They start out as a GSR. They're elected by the GSRs to carry a vote on to the area committee, which means that that's something that's earned. It's not something that's just freely given. Does that help?
October 17th.
In the back. Let me repeat that. The question is, if you're a GSR in a group and you hold an election to rotate out and no one is interested in taking that position, what should you do as an individual? Drop it or discontinue being that GSR or that position or continue on, I think.
Hi, everybody. I'm Cheryl, and I'm an alcoholic.
Cheryl.
And Ralph, what I would suggest, if that would be me, and I may be in the same position, I'm hoping someone will step up and take it, but I will continue on for another 2 years if I need to, because, like I said, I'm just starting to know what it's all about, and I'm making new friends, and I think it's really important that our group has a voice and a vote. And so if that means that I have to put 2 more years of service work into that, then I'll gladly do it. So in my, because I may have the same position. Hopefully not, but if it does, I will carry on the message through another 2 years.
Other questions?
Does he have to?
Does he have to continue on?
I'm Dottie. I'm an alcoholic. Thanks for the question, Ralph, and thanks for the input. From the experience that I've had, and what we end up doing is we get so used to, if we let people do a job for long enough, and, you know, we're alcoholics. If somebody's willing to do it, we'll just let them, you know, until the cows come home. but I think that sometimes it probably best serves, which really is going to sound very weird, but it best serves the group to not let it be covered because of the fact that all of a sudden they're not going to be connected. I know this sounds really weird, but eventually they're going to go, you know what, wait a minute. We were a lot healthier when we were connected. Somebody needs to step up and do this. And it allows the group to be accountable for themselves. If you sponsor someone that's in that group, might be a way to get them involved. You know, there's other ways than doing that. That's been my experience.
I'm Mike, alcoholic.
I'm Mike.
And if you allow me to speak a moment, as if I was speaking to one of the guys I sponsor and not as DCM. And if a young man I was sponsoring found himself in this position, I would remind him that he's representing a group conscience, and the group conscience is deciding that it does not feel that the GSR position is a position of value to them. That's their conscience. That's what they're speaking. They're saying they don't want to do it. They're not willing to support it. So that's their conscience, and I think that conscience itself actually needs to be obeyed. The other thing is, I sponsor the young men I sponsor in service, which means if they park in a service position more than a spirit of, you know, more than a rotation, they're no longer practicing the spirit of rotation, and they're not allowed to be, they're not afforded the ability to grow spiritually anymore, to take a new position somewhere else where they may have new experiences that allow them to grow as a human being. So I don't think anybody served in that situation, and I don't think the district is either, speaking as DCM. I would like to have the groups conscience represented at district, not someone who feels they have to do the job because no one else will. Thank you.
Other questions? Just all the people that are on the panels, they're here. So if you're afraid to ask a question, please walk up to them on one-on-one if you would like. They'll be here, and they can certainly take care of you in that respect. Yes. The question is, how many GSRs are actually showing up at the assembly or at district, or either one. What's your experience in the district and or at the assemblies?
Well, there's over 50 meetings in District 5. I mean, there's close to probably 100 meetings in District 5. We probably have, on average, 8 to 10 GSRs showing up to a district meeting. It fluctuates, especially in the summer and the dead of winter. And we're going to have to defer to, I know there's getting to be more and more GSRs at the assemblies because they're realizing they do have a voice there. Our attendance at our district is going up because I think the GSRs are, they come once, and if they're not allowed to participate, they don't come back. And we've worked really hard to make that participation obvious. It's about them. Thank you.
At the area, we have approximately 649 groups or 679 groups, something like that. And we have, when I first attended, we had probably about 10 to 15 GSRs at the assembly. I think we're now up to 30 or 40. Is that probably a little accurate? I'm not think that that's, I mean, we've grown. But I think that really, really has to do with just some of the things. I think controversy brings us out, and there's been some controversy over the last few years, and I think that we just thrive on that. So, but also it is also a also I think that there's been some really good work in the districts that have really caused some people getting more involved.
I think those, Adam, go ahead.
Adam, alcoholic.
Adam.
Just to belabor Ralph's question a little bit longer. One of the things, just from watching people in service, it seems like if a group kind of goes away, they kind of stay away. And then maybe sometimes that void creates an interest, and maybe sometimes that void. Things get forgotten about. They got to that point pretty soon, and it's gone, not part of that. If Ralph was decided to follow the spirit of rotation and stepped out and vacate the position, would it be more effective for him to just vacate the position and that was it, or still attend some of the functions that might have, you know, what they're not holding on?
It's really a personal call.
Hi, I'm still Cheryl, the alcoholic.
Hi, Cheryl.
I think that personally, I would just as soon attend the meetings and let my group know what's going on. You know, there's also the alternate GSRs, and hopefully we can get them more involved or bring one of your sponsees to it. But to me, I want my group to know what's going on so they feel more a part of. You know, we felt like we didn't belong so much in our lives, felt like outsiders. As a group, we want to be part of the whole of AA and have some of the knowledge of what's going on and feeling more a part of it. So if that means that I do not take the GSR's position, then, and no one does, then I think it's a responsibility of someone in the meeting to attend, maybe take turns attending, but to still keep our group involved in it. I think too many groups just fade away. And that's why I took the position, actually. I took the position. Adam was the GSR before myself, and I watched him, and I watched some other people in the meeting and how enthusiastic they were about alcoholics and about coming back and sharing what they had from district and assembly. And I didn't want that to die in my group, and that's why I took it. And so hopefully someone takes from your position, sees your enthusiasm. I love doing it. You know, I don't come back and go, oh, I had to go to, you know. I think it's an experience. Everything we do now when we sober up is a new experience in our life. And it's something to add on. It's something to learn from. And whatever it is we do, we're learning from it. And we have to share that with our group, I think.
Thanks.
Thanks,
Anything else?
Well, one thing I'm hearing is nobody's stepping up, and I'm an alcoholic, and one of the things is, you know, we often hold elections and then wait for somebody to volunteer. That's not an election. I haven't volunteered for a single one of these jobs. I got elected to every single one of them. Someone nominated me, said, would you do it? I got told, you don't say no. I said yes, the correct answer, and then I got elected, showed up to do the job. That's the way it worked. It has worked that way in every group I've been in. I've been elected treasurer. I've been elected a secretary. I've been elected the treasurer of a conference. On and on and on. Alternate GSR. I've been a GSR. And now I got elected to be DCM. And then I'm secretary-elect for the area. I didn't volunteer for a single one of them jobs. They asked me, would you stand? And I said, yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, chances are if you show up, you'll get a job.
Exactly.
That's my experience as well. So it's not a bad thing. I think that what you're hearing here is very true in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, as a drunk, if somebody else is going to do it, oh my, I'm off the hook. You know, and it's sad but true, and it is. And there are people in this room who are tireless when it comes to service. And it shows. You can hear it. And then there are those of us who have dabbled in service, if you will, or have been in service and now are standing on the side. Is there something wrong with me? No. When do I want to get back into it? I need to show up. See? That's all I have to do. I know what'll happen if I show up. I'll get a job. That's why I'm not showing up. So, you know, it's just that it's a personal matter. You know, we share our opinion, you know, and, you know, those of us, if you want to serve, there's ample opportunity at all different levels. Yes, Cheryl.
We're talking about being thick-skinned and arguing and all of that. Do you think that being a delegate has helped you to be more assertive in your argumenting?
I can manipulate a lot better? No. I can tell you that I can listen to what the person that has an opposition to what I'm thinking that has really honed that skill. I can actually listen to what the whole conversation is rather than just my way or the highway. It has allowed me to know that what you have as an opinion matters. My boss appreciates it too.
Other questions? 5-minute break, and then we'll have the corrections committee. Thank you, folks.